No, I'd just be interested in a little of your family background. Were you born in Alliance, Mr. Pritchard?
Yes, in the house right next door.
You were born in the house next door here?
The house next door.
Now, what's the number of that house?
623 South Arch.
623 South Arch.
It was, in the family, I have one sister. And that was the only one sister and no other. And my sister was, my father and mother were married in 1884. And the father's or mother's parents lived down on North Freedom Street. I think the number was 246 North Freedom. Now, father and mother married in 1884, and my sister was born in 1888, and she must have been born at Grandmother Strong's home. I was born in 1890, and in the meantime, father had built this house, and I was born over here.
I see. Yeah. Now, from where had your parents come? Are you from what then? From what European descent?
I think we claim Welsh.
Welsh,
mostly, yes. Mm-hmm. I don't, the name is quite Welsh.
It's quite Welsh.
There's a little station up on the old Jerkwater railroad here by the name of Pritchard.
Just where would that be?
The little railroad that went up the LEA and W over here, the Lake Erie Alliance and Wheeling, and it became the New York Central, you know.
I see. And you say there was a stop called?
I don't know what the extent. Yes, it was a stop.
That was called Pritchard.
On the schedule, Pritchard, but I don't know. I never was there. I might have gone through it and didn't know it.
That's very interesting. Well, I wonder where your grandparents had lived.
My grandmother Pritchard was born in, Virginia, perhaps Front Royal, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. And just how she got acquainted with my grandfather, I just don't know. But anyway, I think father was born in Lisbon, Ohio.
I see. And, now, your father was a prominent Alliance businessman.
He was a railroad engineer up to 1905, and then he withdrew from the railroad and went into the coal mining business with his brother-in-law.
Mr. Scheidler?
Milo Strong's wife was, Milo Strong was his brother-in-law, and he got interested in a coal mine, and in 1905, father quit the railroad, went out, and it was a successful venture. Then he worked there for, he kept interest in the mine for a number of years, and then came back to Alliance, and then he promoted along with J.S. Spring and John Holdsworth and Dr. P.C. Ramsey, the four of them, and formed a partnership and built two mausoleums. The Alliance Mausoleum was built first, and then they also, because father was well known over in Lisbon, they built a second one, and because Mr. Ramsey also was interested in Lisbon affairs too. And they built the second one over in Lisbon, second mausoleum.
Well, that's very interesting. This, going back to the coal mine, now where was that coal mine?
In Walsenburg, Colorado. That is, they had the little town where it connected with the coal mine was named Strong. They had a post office and all, and it was named after my uncle.
Nice.
Of course, it's disappeared now. It's gone. I visited out there, say 8 or 10 years ago, and it was pretty well clipped up.
Well, now you mentioned building the mausoleum. He would then have been instrumental in building the mausoleum presently at the Alliance City Cemetery. Is that right or not?
Yes. Yes. The mausoleum was built in 1908.
Well, I see. And you mentioned this Mr. Ramsey. Now, is that the Ramsey who lived up in the big house on Union Avenue?
No.
Well, it's another Ramsey.
It was Dr. P.C. Ramsey. And now, I don't know whether you would know maybe Paul Ramsey, and I think the grandson might possibly be an insurance agent and real estate man. Uh-huh. I think I would say that's true, that he is the grandson of.
Well, then your father was later in the automobile business, is this?
Yes, and he was interested in the Alliance Motor Car Company,
Now, where was that operation?
That building, they organized the company, and they built out on 32 East Main Street. The building was occupied up for about, we'd say 20 years perhaps, and then we discontinued business, and the property finally was torn down, and the Kroger Grocery is there at that spot now.
I see. Now, what make a car would he be? Would he have been selling at that?
We had the Ford agency.
Now, what would be the years in there?
That would be I don't know how early it was, but we had that agency perhaps in 1914 to about 1921, something like that.
And then would it have been Keller's that came in about that?
Keller's came in later on.
Oh, later.
You see, we had the one agency, and then I think an H.W. Wagner came in
That's
and
right.
put a second in. Then I don't know just how. Well, then Keller came in and took it, took our plant mm-hmm. here for his first place, and then he built up on Union Avenue and continued his business up there.
Well, now, when did your father die?
1925.
What about early formative influences? Would you say that there were any special early events in your life that had a special impact on you? For instance, in your later years, you've been very active in the church. Did your religious interests, do they go clear back to your early life?
Yes, I would say we were a church family. Mother sang in the Presbyterian choir. Father, on account of railroading and all, he was not very active in getting into the church, but he was certainly favorable to the church. I think I joined in 1907.
That's interesting. Now, as a youngster, would you say that you were an introvert or an extrovert?
Well, I don't know. I think if you could have a combination of both, then it might possibly.
That's a good way.
Where I would fit in.
I suppose you're mathematical.
Getting into devilment around the neighborhood and so forth, we did our share of it.
Where did you go to school? Grade school.
Down here at what we call the college building, you might call it. But you see, it was a college, and then the college faded out, and the Alliance schools took over, and this was the. Do you remember the big?
No.
You don't remember the big building? Well, it was situated right in spanky dab in the middle of the. Of the big square that's now has been vacated, you see.
By the demolition of the prison.
Yes.
The old high school.
The old building was the old college building, mm-hmm. which was the Alliance College, was used for a number of years, as an elementary school and high school.
I see.
Then it was in 1910, I think, along about in there, when the old building was it was torn down, the present one, which has also now been torn down.
So then, do I understand you had both your elementary and your high school in this building that was formerly
the
Old Alliance College?
I was only in two different buildings. We were over at Broadway and the Park for 7th and 8th grade.
I see.
And I had all my first 6 grades down at this old Alliance College building. Then had the 7th and 8th over there, then back here for the 3-year course. Now, I was in the last regular 3-year class. So we had only 3 years of high school. Now, just why we had that, I don't know. I've always just passed it off to the fact that anyone that was going to go to college could go up to Mount Union, and we had a senior academic, what they call a senior academic class up there, and anyone that graduated from high school, the 3-year high school, can just go on up there and get in the rest of their 4th year of high school up there.
But that year wouldn't have counted towards graduation, or not?
That was just preparatory.
That would be preparatory,
yes, in order to give us the required amount of high school that you'd ordinarily get in 4 years.
Now, would you have called that at Mount Union the Old Academy? Is that the term?
Yes. They call it we called it the Senior Academics, it was just simply finishing up a completion of your high school credits and all.
Now, let's see, when did you go up to Mount Union?
I graduated from high school here in 1908, and then went up to Mount Union, started right in, graduated in 13. Now, if I had to do over again, no doubt I would do quite differently, because you see, I took 5 years there, and lots of the students would come in, you know, and they'd pick up extra credits and so forth, and so that they didn't spend the whole five years. They perhaps maybe did it in 4, or maybe less than that.
Mm-hmm. Now, back at that point, did you have a major in college, like we do now? We talk about a major field of concentration.
Well, I was never conscious of anything, although we did emphasize. Now, mine was scientific, you see. Went for chemistry. Didn't have all of it that I could have got up here. Went for physics and biology and zoology and physiology.
Now, who would have been some of your professors at the college?
Professor Lamb in the biology and physiology, and Professor Trott, he was in the astronomy and surveying, and let's see.
You'd have some contact with Bowman, did you?
Oh yes, I had American history under Bowman, and I took 1 year of Greek because so many people said a course with Dr. Schunk was an education in itself, and so I had 1 year of Greek.
Did you find it an education in itself?
Well, Dr. Schunk used to say he writes beautiful Greek. That is from the mechanical part of it, I guess, not from anything that the Greek taught us.
Well, you probably have interesting recollections about the social life. Were you a fraternity person?
Yes, I was an SAE.
Oh, you were an SAE?
Uh-huh.
It was a pretty active group, I should judge.
Yes.
Now, where was the fraternity house at that point?
The fraternity house was a building just to the north of the present Mount Union Methodist Church.
I see.
That's all. It's been torn down now, the parking lot in there. Mm-hmm. But that was where we held out all during the time I was there.
Now, how large a group, how many actives would you have had?
Oh, I suppose 20 or more. I lived up in at the fraternity house for a while because of the family was kind of broken up. Mother had passed away, and we were kind of separated. My sister was up in Cleveland, and I was here in Alliance, and father wanted me to live up Mount Union to get away from the Main Street
influences,
yes. And I don't know, I think he was pretty wise in it.
Well, then we might look into your career right after you left college. What did you do? You didn't get into teaching at once.
Yes,
you got
did.
Into teaching right away.
Well, I was athletically inclined. I had 2 years of football. I never played any basketball, and I had a full college credits of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was in 1912 and 1913, and it was just at the time when high schools were beginning to pick up on athletics and get folks in to coach. And if you were, and a fellow that had any coaching experience just could perhaps could walk into a job, you see. They were just hungry for fellows that had some athletic training and that could act as coach. So I was in on the van of that, you might say. And my first year, I was at Kent High School, and I was, I was the first regular coach that received remuneration for the coaching job, you might say.
That's interesting.
Now, I might have been, it might be that I was the second. I've forgotten, I think it was a man named Deitch that was up there that I followed. And William Walls was...
That's a famous name, isn't it?
Yeah, William W. A. Walls was superintendent, and he was a Mount Union man, a very enthusiastic Mount Union man, and Sigma Nu, and he was very dynamic, and I worked with him very well... enjoyed his work. He was a good man to work with, but I didn't. I only stayed 1 year at that, at Kent, and I had a Carl Winry, who was also from. He was from Salem, and Carl was giving up a job over there. I think he was coach over at Salem at the same time, and he was giving up the job over there and. He recommended, he said, I might possibly get into it. So I did make arrangements, and I was over in Salem for 3 years.
I see.
Then the war came along, and the Board of Education dismissed me about 3 weeks before the end of school in... 1917, and gave me an opportunity to go to Fort Benjamin Harrison in the officer's training. And in 1917, I left 3 weeks early, about 3 weeks.
And then how long were you at Fort Ben?
We spent some time from about May to August, and I got a second lieutenant's commission.
And then what was your port of embarkation?
We graduated, I believe, in August 1917, from from 1917, and I was sent to Fort or Camp Sherman. Yes, Camp Sherman down at Columbus, but it's only
something must be. Well, we interrupted you. You went to Camp Sherman, right?
Camp Sherman was down at Columbus.
Oh, that's right.
No, not at Columbus, at Chillicothe.
Chillicothe.
And I was only down there for 2 weeks until I was sent to Camp Sheridan in Montgomery, Alabama. And got down there, and the government wanted to get some of their newly trained officers that were in this in the National Army that was being set up, and they wanted to get some of that new stuff to some of the National Guard people, and so they sent a couple hundred of us from Camp Sheridan, Camp Sherman, to Camp Sheridan, and in Montgomery, Alabama, and I was one of the 200 that went down there. And and then after we did all that we could, I guess they were, we were just attached to the National, to the 37th Division group.
I see.
That took in our alliance, some of our alliance people. Colonel Wybrick was there. And after we got all done that we could with them, then they began to send us back. And so I was transferred up to Camp Meade, Maryland, and eventually ended up with the 79th Division.
I see.
The 311th Machine Gun Battalion.
I've heard wonderful stories about your good performance as a machine gunner.
Oh, no, I never shot a gun.
Oh, that's not the way the stories go.
I know. would you believe it? I was always the next one to do the odd jobs, you saw, and they just kind of cut off, and I was back here, and the rest of them were going ahead. But believe me, here's the interesting thing. After the armistice was signed, I went to two machine gun schools and an animal transportation school. Now, that was even after the armistice was signed, November 11th, 1918.
Did they expect war to break out again? I don't quite understand.
No, they were just trying to keep us from...
Keep you busy.
Keep us busy and keep us from flying off the handle. And I'll tell you, those officers who had these schools where they were sending back people that had been up in the line, you know, and sent them back to begin to train all over, and they had a pretty tough time with us, yeah, because we weren't listening for any of that stuff, you know. We were just wondering when we were going to get home.
Now, about when did you get to France? You were in France. And
yes. November, or July. July 1918, I think. We arrived and in France. And I had the privilege of going over on the Leviathan.
Really? Well, mm-hmm. That's an interesting.
That was a
the great ship.
That was a takeover ship from the Germans, you know, and that ship went by itself. They didn't send it in the convoy because it was so fast it could just go by itself. So we went over and landed at Brest in about July 14th in 1918. Then I got back to the States here in. About the latter part of May, 1919.
Quite an experience.
Yeah.
How did the French receive you? I've often heard stories that the French weren't very glad to see the Americans.
They were. Yes. We some of the officers would be in nice, congenial residential with residential people, and we, a number of us would meet with the young folks, and the girls especially wanted to learn how to talk English, and the fellows kind of were interested in learning to speak French. So we had lots of nice, pleasant relationships with the French.
Well, now, let's see, were you married when you went abroad?
Oh, that's
another story.
That's another story, which is very interesting. Julia Pritchard, or Julia Goddard, and I, we had already, we were engaged and were, had already set the date for our marriage, and we thought we had things pretty nicely set up when I was stationed down at Chillicothe, and she lived at Charleston, West Virginia. But it so happened that when I was sent down to Montgomery, that kind of threw some water on the fire. But anyway, we went ahead and carried out our plans, and we were married September 29th, 1917.
Well, then you were married in the South.
We were married
at the camp.
I've often said that we were the ones that started this Saturday wedding business, because that was the time you could get off.
Well, now, where had you met Julia?
Met her as she visited her married sister, Mrs. Fawcett, in Salem, Ohio.
When you were teaching there?
When I was teaching there. I met her there, and we just followed on.
Now, had her family lived for a long time in West Virginia?
Oh, yes. She had a father. Her father was a Grand Army man, and very, very active GAR. Yeah. Well, of course, wasn't the GAR until after the war was over. But anyway, he was very active, and I don't know whether he had a commission or not. I don't think he was a commissioned officer.
But then your marriage, you say, was 1917.
1917, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, then when you got back from the war, you resumed teaching?
No. Being married and made quite a little difference in things, and the father planned on getting me into the automobile business.
Oh, I see.
So I came back, when I came back then, I went into the automobile business with him.
I see.
And after he passed away, I didn't particularly, I guess I didn't, in fact, I'm sure I was no salesman. I wasn't born as a salesman at all.
You always tell the truth.
So Mr. Stanton came along one day, and he said he needed a teacher in mathematics, and we connected up.
Now, that would have been like about what year?
That would be in the
mid-20s.
That would be in 1927. Yeah, I was in the automobile business from about 1919 to the middle of 1927.
Oh, I see.
And then
I suppose the Alliance High School, when you went there, was a pretty new building. The building must have seemed almost new back then.
Oh, yes.
Uh
huh.
And the, as I remember, the auditorium part hadn't been built so long at that stage.
Yes.
And you've seen a lot of buildings, a lot of changes on that site, I should think. How many students would there have been in the Alliance High School when you went there in the 20s, do you suppose?
Oh, I think we had a pretty good bunch of them, it seems to me. I'd say About the same size as the one. Yes.
I suppose a good many people came in from the country then.
Oh,
probably.
Yes. Yes, we had the rural sections, and they had a 7 day or a seven period day, and their schedules had to all be arranged so that they could leave at the end of the seventh period, and then the rest of the others stayed for the eighth period.
You've probably had a wonderful chance to observe the change of student attitudes over the years. I used to have an old professor who'd say that he could just categorize the student attitudes decade by decade.
Yes.
Do you have that sort of a feeling?
I should say.
You think they have gotten?
I think teacher attitude has changed quite considerably. Yeah, I just recall that when the Second World War got started, and there were kidders that were needing help and all, and things were at loggerheads, and we needed we were running short of the money, and the teachers volunteered to 1 month. Perhaps your father remembered that,
Sure.
And it wasn't welcomed at all. Some people thought we just ought to stay and just quit, and that's all. But actually, the teachers were willing to give that 1 month. Now you can see how that would match up with what they're doing now, and it makes me pretty sad, you might say, because I think they're a little bit too domineering.
There isn't quite the same sense of responsibility
that
there was.
No. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that the faculty members in the 20s were in general a more capable group than the people who've come in more recently, or not?
Oh, I wouldn't say
you
that.
Wouldn't say
no,
that.
No. I think that
it's a matter of dedication.
I think
right?
We've been steadily helped by getting new people in with more training and all.
You have seen great changes in teacher expectations. I suppose salaries when you began would
I started $1,500.
That would be that was when you just got out of college.
Yes. No. No, my first job was about $90 a month.
Is that right?
$90 a month, and it just increased slightly on that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started at the Alliance High School here, I think in my first year's pay was $1,500.
Of course, the $1,500 bought a lot more.
Yes, I always have. Yeah.
What sort of a teaching load did you have in the 20s? How many classes a day would you teach, I wonder?
Oh, let's see. I think we had about six classes.
Mm-hmm.
Six classes and a study hall, something like that, and one free period. I believe that's about the way it ran.
Then this would mean you'd ordinarily have to do quite a bit of work at home in terms of paper grading and preparations.
Oh, if you wanted to do it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't really feel under any pressures. Were you ever much involved in the extracurricular programs at the high school?
Yeah, I was in the sponsorship or the High Y Boys for quite a number of years.
Over the years, did you notice that there was any noticeable change in the way the high school was run? Was there a tendency for there to be greater faculty involvement in the governance of the school or not?
Oh, I didn't notice anything exceptional. We just knew things would come in, and we'd absorb them and go ahead on the new arrangements.
It just seems to me at the college there's so much talk about faculty involvement. You see, they want on the board of trustees and they want to be a part of all the intimate details of administration. I just wondered if you'd detected a similar trend in the high school.
No, I can't recall.
Do you think athletics has been too prominent in the alliance system or not?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think that we've overemphasized it. I think it's pretty well
balanced
and controlled.
Might be interesting for you to indicate who some of the outstanding teachers at the high school have been during your long tenure there.
Well,
or is that an unfair question?
Ralph Klopuk and Miss Hartzell, mm-hmm. and Miss Dilley.
I was just curious what three or four would come to your mind.
Oh yes.
Well, we might just say a little bit about your relationship with the church. It's been very, very close over the years. What official positions have you had at the First Presbyterian
Church?
Well,
I was a member of the session, and that's the governing body. Mm-hmm.
Probably for many years.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, in fact, I was on for practically 50 years. Yeah. And have received a couple of little citations to that effect. Approximately 50 years.
Now, who was the first minister at the Presbyterian Church whom you remember? I wonder. The first one that you...
The first one I remember? Well, I faintly recollect. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have one of those...
It wouldn't be... Would you know a Dr. Grimes or not?
Dr. Grimes... He was still living, but I don't ever remember of him. I think he baptized my sister.
I see. So that was, just gets about to the
he
area.
He was right into the area there. And Dr. McFadden baptized me, and I joined the church under Reverend Carnahan.
Well, those are names I'm afraid I don't
recall. Yes, those are...
You remember the Tates, probably.
Oh, yes. Yes.
They were there just before Stevens, is that right?
I believe that's the way it was, yes.
Do you think that the present church seems to see its mission very differently from the church of 30, 40 years ago?
Oh, yes, I think so. They're involved in so many activities that, you might say, are quite much further out than the old original cut and dried material that of the older churches.
They don't concentrate on soul saving quite so
exclusively. No.
Do you feel this is a step in the right direction, this greater social involvement, or is the church losing something by this kind of emphasis?
Oh, that's awful hard to say. I know it just seems as if so many people want a certain thing to be done, and if that isn't done, they think nothing will take its place at all. But in my church relationship in the years, I have gone through the period of a Sunday morning service and a Sunday evening service and a Wednesday evening prayer meeting. And now we don't even have the prayer meetings, and but we do have other things that have come in and taken their places, which I don't think there's been any loss, mm-hmm. but in not having a particular midweek service.